Hello, this is Joe McGee. You know, we've been doing seminars across the country for years. Seminars on marriage, parenting, men, money, and family. We want to encourage you to email us and let us know if this podcast has helped you. Or maybe you have joined us live at one of our seminars. If you have a testimony, you just want to tell us what God's doing in your life, please email us at mail@joemcgeeministries.com, or you can contact us through our website, joemcgeeministries.com. There you will find helpful articles and tools to help you grow in God, your marriage, and your family. We love you guys. We hope you enjoy the podcast. Hello, this is Joe McGee. Welcome to Faith for Families. We are continuing on about marriage building 101, how you build a marriage, you don't find one. Nobody gets lucky. I think through my life of being married 37 years, you'll hear people say, well, they just got lucky and found a good person. No, listen, everybody's got flesh. According to the Bible, everybody's got flesh, Galatians 5, and flesh can go stupid on you. Great relationships are no accidents, what we're going to talk about today. If somebody's got one, they're doing something on purpose. And I know when, I'm just thinking, I went to high school with kids, over 40 years ago that were saved and went to revival together. We went to each other's churches, and they're married, yet some of them, their marriages are not doing so well today, They know Jesus, but they don't know the laws that govern relationships that are found in the Word of God. Yet I went to high school with kids 40 years ago who weren't saved then, and they're still not saved today. That's sort of a scary thing. If Jesus comes, they're not going to heaven, But even though they're not saved, they have great marriages. And people say, how's that possible? Well, because they practice the laws of great relationships. There's laws of the kingdom that work whether you're saved or not saved. That's why there are people that may go to church, may not go to church. It has nothing to do with their marriage, whether they determine to do it or not. I used to tell people, God doesn't bless Christians. God saves. He saves you. He can save you. That doesn't mean he blesses you. You're not saved because, or blessed because you're a Christian. You're blessed because you're obedient. Isaiah 1:19 says, if you're willing and obedient, eat the good of the land. Job 36, verse 11, if you're obedient, you'll spend your days in prosperity and your years in pleasure. Ephesians chapter 6, if you're obedient, it'll be well with you and you live long on the earth. God blesses obedience. No different than relationships. Nobody wants to hang out with somebody that's mean and rude and crude and lazy and sorry and smelly. There's some sort of benefit there, some sort of mutual benefit in a relationship. So that's what happens when you meet somebody, you get to know somebody, find out what they're like. What do they value? What do they think's important? What are their standards? Is this somebody you like to go with? Amos says this, can two walk together unless they be agreed? Let's get to know each other. We'll see if we're in agreement or not. Happens. That's why people court. They date. They get to know each other. You want to know something about one another. You ask questions. Who are you? Where are you from? What do you believe? Where are you going? What do you want to do? Can we do this together? Most marriages today are what we call soulmate relationships. Soulmate relationships are a relationship where you find somebody and you think, oh man, I just love being with them. They make me feel so good. They make me laugh and I feel good about myself and they build me up. Well, that's great and that is a gift. But listen to me, somebody that's a great date is not necessarily a great spouse. The same quality might make a fun date, might make a horrible spouse. Because there's certain jobs that a spouse has, according to the Word of God, that you're going to have to do. It doesn't matter where you live, how old you are. Doesn't matter how many times you've been married. These are just things that govern relationships. And so we're going to learn about great relationships today and what they mean. To do this, I want to go back and just give you some things about two are better than one. Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, God said, it's not good for man to be alone. God made it so we would need one another. Males would need females. Females would need males. Now, the devil's really done a great job of trying to bust that up. Men make fun of women. Women make fun of men. And you can't watch a movie or a TV program where there's a great male. They make fun of all men. The devil's gone after the head. Make fun of men. Men are rude and crude and selfish and mean and this. And they pass gas. And they don't know how to have manners. And that's what the whole media thing's trying to destroy, the office of man. Make men look stupid. And men can do incredibly dumb things, but God made man. God made man in his image. God made men stronger than women to protect women and provide for them, not to abuse them and beat them. So that's what sin does. Sin destroys everything. Sin came into the very first family, the first marriage, Adam and Eve. First family, got Cain, Abel. All of a sudden, sin comes into the first family. You know what happened to them? If you read it in Genesis, it said sin came into the first family. They got fired from their job. They got evicted from their house. Their kids started killing each other. Greatest enemy of anybody, sin, not doing what's right. That's why you got to read the Bible. It tells you what's right. It's not a rule. It's just a way to live. Nobody's going to make you do it. God won't make me live right. It's a choice. That's why God said, I set before you life, death, blessing, cursing. You choose. You get to choose how you live. You get to choose who your friends are. But the Bible's got a lot to say about that. Proverbs 27:17, as iron strikes iron, so the countenance of a friend. If you have a friend, they will tell you the truth because they don't want you to stay stupid. Proverbs 13:20 says, if you want to be wise, you better be walking with a wise person. But a companion of a fool will be destroyed. The Bible's full of wisdom on how to live good, how to live long. If you read the first seven Proverbs, you'll read there, it's in there four times that God wants us to be a happy people. It's God's will we be happy. Do you know that? It's God's will that we live long and that we prosper. But it won't just happen. It comes to obedience to the Word of God and acting right, talking right, doing right, thinking right. Because the Bible says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. I don't know how many times in counseling we've had people come up, Joe, why do they act that way? I said, well, they act that way because they think that way. And they think that way because they feed on stuff that feeds that. That's why you got to guard your heart with all diligence, Proverbs says. For out of it are the issues of life. So that's why people are the way. That's why you got to get to know them when you date. So let's go to this. Two are better than one. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9. Two are better than one. For if one falls, he's got somebody to help him up. But woe to him that is alone when he falls. He doesn't have somebody to help him up. One lies by themselves, you're going to be cold. Two lie together, you're going to have heat. One gets attacked, probably going to get whipped. Two get attacked, you can stand back to back and withstand the attack. And a threefold cord's not quickly broken. Deuteronomy 32:30, if one can put 1,000 to flight, two can put 10,000 to flight. Matthew 18, verse 19, if any two of you shall agree on anything they ask the Father in heaven, it'll be done by him here on earth. Two is an incredible number in the kingdom of God. The devil knows that. That's why he's always trying to separate and divide. He does. That's how he conquers, by separation. Jesus, on the other hand, said this in John. He said, Father, make them one together like you and I are one. That's why God talked about marriage. He said, what God has brought together, don't let man put asunder. Because there's a great advantage to being two. You know, if you just study in the natural today, research done by, you know, Rutgers University, University of Michigan, University of North Carolina, if you read, you can just go on the internet or go to your local library. People who are married live longer, live happier, live healthier, live wealthier, have sex more often. It's just a study, but it's also biblical. God said marriage was a good thing. That he that finds a wife finds a good thing and gets favor from God. But if you listen to a lot of people in marriage, well, that's not true. I married the devil incarnate. Well, maybe you did, maybe you didn't. Maybe you didn't know how to handle them. Maybe you know how to act right and treat them right. And so what happens, we go into, especially as a minister, I'll be honest with you, people come to you and they'll say, hey, you're a minister, will you marry us? And then what they mean is, will you say the I do's? And I remember used to years ago, I said, yeah, I'll marry you. And I remember the first six marriages I performed within 3 years, four of them were divorced. I thought, I have no anointing for this. I'm going to stop this. Now, I realize the problem is I'm not training them. You need to be trained to get married. It's a training process you have to go through. There's rules that you cannot violate in this relationship business. You know, whether you go parachuting or scuba diving, they don't just throw something on your back, kick you over the side of the boat or out the plane. They're going to train you first. And so you need some pre-marriage counseling. Here's what you're going to begin to encounter, because you're going to spend a lifetime growing together. And again, marriage is nothing more than two ignorant people growing up together. Yeah, they're not just two ignorant people, but two opposite people. There's a great bumper sticker in Waco, Texas that says this, when two people are just alike, one of you is not needed. You don't marry somebody like you, you just think you do. God set this up on purpose. God's going to bring somebody into your life completely different. They're going to think different, problems up. Because the Bible says there's wisdom in a multitude of counselors, not because you agree. There's wisdom in a multitude of counselors because you see the problem from a different viewpoint. You don't need a lot of bobblehead people around you to help you. You need people that see it different than you do, so you make sure you can see the problem from every viewpoint and get the right answer. What happens is you get married, you don't understand that you've married your opposite. Then all of this is trying to win an argument. Then it's always, I'm right, you're wrong. I'm smart, you're stupid. And you don't win those arguments. What you're trying to get to is realize something. My spouse is not like me. She's going to see it different. He's going to see it different, hear it different, think it different, because men and women are not the same. We're not even remotely the same. Our blood's different. Our thought process is different. Our speech pattern's different. Our eyesight's different. Women hear five tones. Men only hear three. Women have 10 times the sensors on her skin than a man does. That's why little girls like to dress up kitty cats and puppy dogs and bunny rabbits and have tea parties and give them names. Little boys want to get BB guns and shoot their eyeballs out. We don't want to give them tea parties. We're not the same. So when a man and a woman get married, two different worlds have come together by God's design to go through life and build a life together. It's an incredible thing. But when we don't understand that, the very thing God made to bless us, we will attack verbally. Well, what's the matter with you? Why do you think that way? Well, you're just crazy. And I don't know what's the matter. Well, you married somebody of the opposite sex. And they do think different. So that's why you got to sit down and learn how to communicate that we're going to talk about in our next session about, well, what do you see that I don't see? What is it you hear I don't hear? What is it you're thinking I'm not thinking? Let's see if we can pool ourselves together, get the mind of Christ and solve this. Not win an argument. Let's solve a problem. Because that's what a married couple does. You spend the rest of your life solving problems. Where are we going to live? Where are we going? What are we going to eat? What are we going to drive? What are we going to get for the kids? Where are they going to go to school? Who are they going to date? Are we going to let them marry them? What do we want? What kind of education we want to get? It's going to be a constant process of talking together to solve problems. Well, many people see that as irritating. That's why men like to leave the house. They don't want to come home. They want to stay gone all the time. Get by themselves. Shut up. I don't want to talk. Well, now, how are you going to solve problems if you don't talk? Well, all I want to do is just kiss her. Well, there's a lot more to life than just puckering up and kissing. As much as I love kissing, there's a lot more to marriage than that. So here's what we're talking about. Great relationships are no accident. We're going to learn several things here. Number one, the needs are different. Number two, the jobs are different. For example, the top needs of all males come in some way, and it doesn't matter what book you read. They all kind of, some across, some give five, some give six. I'm just going to give you four today. But top basic needs of all males, number one is honor. Men love honor. Men like looking good. Number one goal of all male, every day they get up, is to not look stupid. Men hate looking stupid. And so they're going to get up and do. That's why men like to go where there's a scoreboard. You know, they want to know how they're doing. That's why men hate social events. There's no scoreboard. You know, you go to a family reunion or a church social, how was it? I don't know. I talked to 12 people. Did I win? I don't know. Women, on the other hand, are relationship-oriented. Men are performance-oriented. Men want to go do something. That's why the front cover of any male magazine is a performance statement. How to fix that carburetor in 30 minutes. How to shoot that deer with one shot. How to catch that bass on the first pass. Performance. That's what men want. They want to go do something, get it done, move on to the next thing.
Hey, thanks for listening today. Be sure to join us Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to hear more of what God can do in your life. He's got a great future for you and your family, and we are here to help you get there. Make sure and go to our website, joemcgeeministries.com. We've got all sorts of materials, books, DVDs, you name it, all there to help you, your marriage, and your family succeed.